Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Is the day the Lord has made, and I'm doing the show outside in the sunshine, and it feels so good. These are the times in which God has decided we will live. Oh, look, right there, it's a blue jay. I didn't know we had those in Idaho. And there, it's a squirrel. I love that. The other day, our dog ate half of a rabbit. We don't know what killed the other half, but it probably was not our dog. We have unique responsibilities during this time. Like, now that we've learned it's okay to be outside, I welcome to the show from inside, locked in a secret studio, the legend, Dory Monte.
Man, I can't wait for next Friday now.
Broadcasting from our sidewalk shack, constructed this morning outside of our East Lake Radio studios.
I don't understand why we're not laser focused on the basics of educating kids.
Here we go.
Jeez.
Three,
okay.
Two, one, zap him.
No, go, go, go.
Oh, man.
Whoa. Holy criminy.
You're crazy. Broadcasting outside, huh?
Yeah,
I was in a broadcast shack years ago, Todd Herman, out on the sidewalk outside of Bonneville Broadcasting.
I know, and I'm looking at 450 acres of wilderness and just enjoying the sun on my face. And you know, I couldn't have done this if it wasn't for being just led to this. It's now okay to be outside. I watched Jay Inslee, the so-called governor of Washington State, did an outdoor press conference, and if I'm not mistaken, he was wearing two woke masks despite getting two shots of mRNA, and I was just relieved that suddenly now it's take it outside.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable, man. Well, a couple of things, because the things you've touched on. Yeah. I did decide to get the vaccine. I got it last Sunday. Was my second dose of the Moderna. And everybody said, well, you're going to be sick after the second dose. Are you taking Monday off? I go, no, I don't get sick. I really believe in the power of the mind and that you can do amazing things. I said, no, I'm not going to get sick. And they go, no, pretty much everybody gets sick. And I go, I'm not going to get sick. I got so sick. I missed my show on Monday, which I never do. I've taken maybe 5 sick days in 26 years, but that thing knocked me out, man. And I do this matrix. Is the upside greater than the downside? And I thought, well, for my age, I got a couple of, you know, maybe comorbidities. And so I decided it probably makes sense for me to get it. But, man, once they got that in my arm the second time, Todd, I had a 33, you know, I have sleep issues.
Yeah.
I had a 33-hour stretch between Sunday night and Tuesday morning where I slept 26 of the 33 hours.
Oh.
I'm thinking about getting a Moderna shot every Friday just so I can get caught up on sleep at the end of the week.
You know, it's interesting that you and I differ in terminology. I don't call them vaccines. I call them mRNA injections. But I would tell you this. I think that having spike proteins now in your brain, that's great because it's the Moderna that has the molecules wrapped in nanolipid particles. So they cross over the body-brain barrier. You do sound sharper this morning. But I'd also say this. Pfizer's now announced that they're going to need, you might need a third or a fourth or maybe a fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth shot. Of the mRNA. But at least you know this. While you're not immune, you are unlikely to get really sick if you get the COVID.
Right, exactly. And and look, I'm glad that I sound sharper, but the other problem that I have heard is that eventually it could wear off.
Oh, it'll wear off, man. It'll wear off. So I wanted to ask you, because you said that's one of the things I've brought up. The other thing I've brought up is, and I stole this from Mark Steino. I had to give him credit every single time he says it, or I say it, is that tyranny is always capricious. And I watched this thing with Inslee. Did it look to you like he'd extended his kabuki theater from one woke mask to two, now that he's had the mRNA injections months ago? Did that look like two woke masks to you?
Yeah, I think he did. And I don't know if you saw the picture I tweeted out or I retweeted, but at one point he had on a straw hat and one of the he was wearing a pair of glasses, and one of the masks was covering one lens of the glasses. It was not a good look, man. He's lucky this is his last term, because if he runs for anything again, his opponent will use that picture in every single mailer they send out.
Well, I was relieved to know that we actually, you know, we don't know who's running things with Joe Biden, but we know who's running things with Jay Inslee.
The tune here is played by the virus, not the governor's office. It's the virus's numbers that direct these decisions at this point.
Now, you're a numbers guy, Dory, and I was going to ask you, I mean, how good at numbers do you think the COVID flu is? I mean, and you're pretty good. You're good at the mental math and breaking things down. Do you think it's a good mathematician, the virus?
I think the COVID virus mathematically makes me look like a kindergartner. Yeah. It's genius. I mean, the COVID knows, the COVID knew to only infect people until 10 p.m. when the bars finally opened up. And then the COVID knew to go to 11 p.m. No, this thing's nimble. It's nimble. It's very smart. It knows to stop at the King Pierce County line, because Pierce has rolled back to two now. So, no, it's one of the smartest viruses I've ever seen.
I will always remember. I know exactly where I was when I heard one of your most brilliant radio moments. I was on Tubbs Hill in downtown Coeur d'Alene, and I set myself a project. I'd been running that, trail running it with a weight vest. And so this past winter, I said, you know what? I'm going to be able to run up the summit, up this hard fire road with my weight vest nonstop. So I've been practicing out there. I was listening to your program coming down the hill, and you went through Inslee's He had announced that
we have new science that shows that you can go out to the tennis court now and play in triples, but not in quadruples.
And you, and I think you even had Brock there after that, Brock Huard of Fox Sports. You went through the rules on golf courses. And do you remember any of those? Do you remember any of those specifics? Because I was dying laughing. I was under a metabolic strain, Dory, and I was dying laughing on this trail.
Well, and even funnier, I don't remember the specifics. Okay. I think just one person per cart, and you could have a foursome if you were all from the same household.
Right.
It was so ridiculous. And then did you ever hear the audio of the county commissioner in New Jersey doing her press conference on the tennis courts?
Yes.
Where they were saying that you have to put your name on your balls. And then she starts out, she goes, your tennis balls. And you can only pick up the ball that has your name on it. And your opponent has to have tennis balls with their name on it. And it's okay. It's okay to kick the other person's balls, tennis balls. But
she
can't
kept having to add that.
Yeah, but you can't pick it up and throw it to them.
Yes.
It was the most ridiculous thing you'll ever hear.
And we have to get into some breaking news, but some exclusive stuff Dory has. Dory got a question asked of Inslee, and everybody everywhere, you're going to be so furious and so sad for this woman, but so proud that Dory got a question asked. I just have to remind you this, because you brought up the tennis balls thing. You saw the video of Jerry Nadler, who is an absolute walking proof of not the Peter principle, but the mediocrity principle. Did you see him when he was saying, we're not packing the Supreme Court, we're unpacking it? Did you see
we're
the up close of
it.
Did you see the up close of his woke mask?
No. What was he wearing?
He has his initials on it. Well, of course, he's had the mRNA injection for months. He has his initials on it as if, like, if you saw this mask, it is so filthy. He's the guy who's seen taking his woke mask out of his suit pocket, the back pocket, the coat pocket. The thing is coated in human germs. It's grimy, but it says JR on it, as if someone's going to see that woke mask and go, I'm slapping that on my beak. Oh, sorry, Jerry, I took your woke mask. I didn't realize it was yours till I got near it and could smell it. All right.
I can't even. You don't want to wake up to thoughts of smelling Gerald Nadler's mask.
So here's what we're going to do. Dory's going to come back with us. We're going to check traffic. You're going to hear now. Tell me who this is. I'm imitating one of your colleagues. There'll be a change in tenor and tone from the laughing hysteria of two friends visiting now to a more serious tone as Dory Monsenator takes a story what happened to a young woman and her wedding in the Pierce County area, or might happen. Who was I imitating?
I have no idea.
John Curley. When he does the, remember when he'd have the listeners on and they do the fake Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And John would say, now there's a change in tenor and tone. We've established a rapport between us as friends. Now I shift into radio host mode, more serious. So anyway, that's a John Curley bit.
I'll have to start listening to his show, I guess.
sick burn. We're with Dory Monson, now made a better radio host because he has spike proteins growing in his brain, courtesy of the lipid nanoparticles of the Moderna injection. Two things. Your program, I think the day before last, I joined you in your emotion about this young man. I do want to touch on that story, and I want to give thanks to the news organization that led to that story. I do want to touch on that, but this case of this woman and her wedding might be something where we can apply some pressure and help a person.
Well, it's unbelievable. So this young woman contacted me on Tuesday. She was just distraught. She's in Pierce County. Her husband is active duty military, who's been deployed overseas for the last 10 months. They had a small window because he's going to be redeployed overseas. And they had a small window where they could get married. And so the wedding is this Saturday. And a few weeks ago, Pierce County went from phase two to phase three. Joy, because instead of 103 guests, they could have 136, which was the number they wanted. They had to cut 33 of their closest friends. And let me go back just a second, Todd. My daughter's wedding was what I envision heaven will be like, where it was all the people we loved and everybody was laughing and dancing and joyful. It was just pure joy. It was the greatest night of my life, our daughter's wedding. So, and I understand how much this means to a young woman. So a few weeks ago, Pierce County goes back from phase two to phase three. Now they can have 136 guests. She said her grandpa, who's 97 years old, is coming flying in what will be likely his final trip ever. Grandma's going to fly in, first time on an airplane in decades. They have all kinds of friends who have flown in already for the wedding. And now Pierce County and Jay Inslee, not Pierce County, it's just Jay Inslee. Now Jay Inslee says, nope, sorry, we got to go back to phase two, and you have to cut your wedding list from 136 back down to 103. And this is so wrong, because a lot of the guests that they have to cut have flown in already. And there's no grandfathering in of a wedding that was already planned. And what I told her is, look, I'll cover the fines. Me and my listeners will personally cover the fines if any of your vendors get popped. But the vendors are afraid that Jay Inslee is going to take away their business license. And so she doesn't know if the florist, the band, the caterer, the venue will allow it if they violate Jay Inslee's rules. And so he has put the fear into all these businesses that he will destroy them if she has all the people that they love at this wedding. So yesterday, we got a question in at Jay Inslee's press conference. I have to play it off my phone because I haven't loaded it yet. But tell me how you feel about his tone and attitude here.
Mr. Kyrie. radio. First, due to the Pierce County rolling back to phase two tomorrow, a couple has had to disinvite dozens of guests for their wedding, as capacity will be reduced. In the past, you've allowed flexibility for events like this and similar rollbacks. Do you consider doing anything like this time?
The wedding issue, look, it's hard. These are frustrations. I hope the couple will have a great wedding. I hope they have a future where they can all celebrate as much as they can, and I wish them well.
He refused to answer the question. And this couple deserves an answer, and he treated it almost contemptuously. And I truly believe, Todd, that because the question came from Cairo Radio and he knew it came from my show, I think that Jay Inslee decided to treat a young couple, including an active military deployed overseas, groomed to be, he decided to treat them with almost snark and contempt. Yep. Because it came from me. And this was, you know, I usually just say I disagree with Jay Inslee, but I don't think he's a bad guy. He's been married for a long time, and he seems like a good husband and father. He's a bad guy in this regard, in how he's treating this couple, and that he wouldn't grant an exemption for a wedding that was already planned. That's just that's a bad human being right there.
Dory, I'll take this a step further. You yesterday, I think it was yesterday, the day before in your program, you shared a story of a young man who was allowed to starve to death at a combination of things. Terrible, terrible, just obscenely terrible adoptive parents and money being poured into them to supposedly care for these kids. The selective shutdown of schools, which took away a safety valve for this kid. It sounds like malfeasance or at least negligence on behalf of a CPS worker. My dad was a career social worker, worked with CPS. I certainly don't believe every CPS worker is that way. I'll extend something that, and I think I heard you say something maybe similar to this. I will make the case based on data that Jay Inslee's selective, medically useless lockdown of school children, churches, and small businesses, but not big business, has killed more people than any cop in history. I'll say the same for the so-called Dr. Jeff Duchin, the so-called King County health officer, who is a proponent of there's no realm of society in which so-called public health officers should not have final say. He's a proponent of that idea. So I will go to say that Inslee's policies have caused teens to kill themselves, to get into depression and anxiety, and adults to kill themselves. So if that's not being a bad guy, it's being a very, very soft-brained person.
Well, look, in the story, if people want to read the source of the story, it was in the Vancouver Columbian. My wife saw it because she's from Vancouver and she reads the Columbian every day. But yeah, it was the story of this 15-year-old kid, severely autistic. He's incontinent. He's blind, mostly blind. And he doesn't have the high school, where there's a special ed teacher that helps care for him and is a safety net. His aunt adopted him and his two brothers 8 years ago. And apparently they starved him to death. This little boy who's thin, but at age 15, about a year ago, he was 120 pounds. He died at 65 pounds. The brothers, a CPS caseworker, came and looked in on this family just a few days before the boy died. And his brother, because this boy is non-communicative, but the brother said that they get whippings, that they pull down their pants and beat them with a paddle until it breaks, have whipped them with electrical cords. And the caseworker sees that this boy is wasting away to nothing, and they don't do anything. So, yes, between the governor shutting the schools, between CPS caseworker who was there just days before, and then the kicker to all of this, Todd, we, the taxpayers, gave this mom, the adoptive mom, $4,300 a month to care for the three boys. Instead of feeding them, the boys had to steal to get their own food, they say. Instead of feeding them, she went to the nearby casino and they checked her records. They checked the Players Club card and they found that in the last 3 years, she has lost over $238,000 on the slot machines. And 3 hours after this little boy died at 65 pounds, 3 hours after he died, she lost $418 again on the slots at the casino. So, yes, the school's being open. I've worked in the public schools. My wife currently works in public schools. We are all trained to watch for signs of any distress in a child. That is now gone. That safety net is gone, and schools being closed, and then Washington CPS, that caseworker. Yeah, same question you were kind of alluding to. Yeah. We're going to charge a cop with manslaughter for accidentally firing her gun in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. What do you should we charge a public official who is supposed to watch out for the well-being of a child and is there a few days before this happens and the child dies at 65 pounds?
It's yes, just we should.
Oh my
yes,
goodness!
We should.
Yeah, it's. I tell you, man, I lost it on the air yesterday.
You were right to lose it. You're right to lose it. We've gone long. I got the 25-10, and now it's clock integrity issue. I'm going to be taken into the office and given a talking to. But it was worth it to be with my friend, Dory Martin.
Blame me. Put it all on me, man.
Noon to 3, Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. Go with God's good grace, Dory. Thank you.
Okay, I'll talk to that bride this afternoon again, too. Coming
excellent.
Up.
Excellent. Thank you.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
You can also use email, 800-465-8770. And see some, as always, some new first-time texters. Please, guys, next time you write in, just give yourself a nickname. Just write it in the text, call me this, and we'll add it to the database. This is sad. Long time listener to the program, supporter of the show, Lake Stevens Lunatic. My stepdaughter's currently going through a mental breakdown, and it's all rooted in her fear of COVID. She sees a person without a mask. She literally goes into a fit, starts taking pictures, and she starts calling the police. You can't talk to her because she's surrounded by the media telling her that her opinion is right. And then she surrounded herself in social media by telling people who also agree with her. All of this is making it impossible to actually talk with her and to try to get her help. We had a phone call last night, and I'm convinced that we need to figure out how to force her into psychiatric help. And this is all being caused by the fear instilled into people by Jay Inslee. It is. I don't know how old your stepdaughter is. It sounds very much like she's been driven into a mental breakdown, hypochondriac mental breakdown. And like Stevens, if she's a juvenile, I'm telling you this with my hand to God Almighty. You cannot have her treated in Washington State without an enormous amount of research. You cannot trust the adolescent mental health care system in Washington State without doing an incredible amount of research into the individual caregivers and the clinics. They've been fully captured by social justice warriors. And in terms of your stepdaughter, this could turn into a full-blown case of agoraphobia, which then goes down the path of the LID equilibrium, which is loneliness, isolation, and depression. Those three indicators, when they peak, lead to self-harm and suicide. Brother, I think you do need to get her help. And if she is beyond the age of 13, in fact, if she's beyond the age of 12, you have no parental rights in Washington State. None. None. So I'll pray for you. Pray for your stepdaughter. That is very frightening. Thank you for sharing that with us. On the topic of voter ID laws, Heidi from Puyallup. Todd, can you please, and this is not rhetorical, please explain to us what the Dems find so offensive about the Georgia voter ID laws. It can't be the IG requirement, can it? If that's it, common sense has finally died. Well, it's two things. One, they're not concerned. It's theater. It's theater to show that, Georgia is a purple state now, and they're trying to install racism, and they hate black people, and black people are so stupid they can't go get IDs. That's embedded in what the Democrats think about voter ID laws. Candace Owens has said, oh, okay, so now black people are too stupid to get IDs. And since what she's pointed out, as a black woman, she finds it offensive. Part of it is that it's virtue signaling. It's dividing Americans. Part of it is arrogant standards. They don't want standards in areas that relate to governance. They don't want laws. They don't want a court that's rational. They don't look what they're doing with their governors, abusing the so-called emergency proclamations. So they don't want any standards that could cause them any problems in trying to seize control of the country. So it's, they know what they're doing. They know that Delaware has far more, quote, restrictive, read, rational laws in voting than does Georgia. They know that Denver, where the major league virtue signalers that used to be a baseball league are moving their game, has tighter rules. They know that. Georgia transplant. CNN is today's Sun Times and National Enquirer. And you know what? I think it's worse. CNN is the Manhattan version of Pravda. It is state media. That's what it is. Speaking of that, I have just added this to the rundown, and I'm asked Tarek to make sure that this goes up. Speaking of CNN, now it's CBS. Were they the ones who invented the white Hispanic thing about George Zimmerman? I'm pretty sure that the ones who selectively edited his phone call where they said, can you describe the person? Well, he's black. He's up to no good. Remember that? And it was a complete selective editing of what Zimmerman said. And Zimmerman turned out to be a mess of a human. Let's be honest with ourselves. He was almost killed in that incident. He was right to defend himself, and he turned out to be a whack job. CBS News edited the police body cam video to hide the fact that this teen shot in Chicago apparently had a gun. Adam Toledo apparently had a gun. I'm looking at a picture that CBS edited out of their coverage. It appears to be a handgun. Yes, he was 13. 13-year-olds are not harmless when they have a handgun. His nickname was apparently Lil Homicide. They edited it out. Here's a quick test to find out if you're a journalist. You will criticize this if you're a journalist. If not, you're not. Dig it? Good. Now this. Texts. Kelly, too many people have been brainwashed by the disreputable media, information, and politicians. Yes. Yes. And you know what's crazy? Though we are critics of these organs, you and I have been affected by them. I am challenging you to unplug them completely from your life for 1 month. I'm begging you to try it. It's like when you don't eat sugar for 1 month, you'll eat it and go, wow, I'm getting a brain rush. Wow, this is like a drug. It is. Unplug it completely from your life and you'll see how utterly, utterly broken it is. From the 951, hey, have you ever reviewed The Chosen? Nice alternative to the Mockingbird Media. Yes. If you are Christian curious and you're not yet ready to read the Bible, watch The Chosen. Not only is it anti-Hollywood, it's Hollywood standards production. It is high production value, great acting. It's a human look at Christ Jesus and the disciples. It puts humanity to this in a, it's really solidly biblical in the big picture. It invents some things about the characters that are non-salvation issues. They just add meat to the idea of the characters and their backgrounds. If you're Christian curious, you have friends that are, have them watch that. I haven't wept as much around a television show as I have that. 480. Your producer, Tarek, sounds like a Genesis fan with a couple of his rejoiners. Has he listened to Brand X?
Oh, yeah.
Tarek?
Oh, okay. Yeah. The okay. Jazz fusion is real. I'm telling you.
Yeah. All right. I hate jazz.
What?
I hate jazz.
You hate jazz?
Mm-hmm. Hate jazz? Can't listen to more than one song of the 12-bar blues. Boring by definition.
Do you hate, like, all good music that, like, made all the other good music? All the inspiration?
Yes. Yes, Tarek. That's not at all an overreach. Well done. Not at all.
I belong at CNN, I guess.
Yes. The Wordsmith Cowboy says, I swear we need to add a section called Jamming Me with Tom Petty. The song You're Jamming Me at the same theme. You're Jamming Me. It's interesting. We'll think about that. It's always good to have theme songs. Crab Walker, wearing a mask after getting vaccinated is like somebody wearing a condom with while practicing abstinence. It is. It's like wearing a... Yes. Oh, it is. Yes. While practicing abstinence. Had to think about that one. That's good. Lifelong learner. Todd, there's only one way out of the pandemic. It's not a pandemic. They changed the counting structure. Find, isolate, and nurse back to health the sick people. As long as you have the disease, go around others while going through varying cycles of contagiousness. Do not get the help they need to fully cover it. It will continue to spread, just as other diseases have done before. In the end, we have to apply the methods that found Mary Mallon, Typhoid Mary. Stop pretending that half measures will stop it. It's over 1 year later, and all the efforts did not stop this disease, as promised, something Jay Inslee should know by now. Jay Inslee's not capable of knowing a lot of stuff. He's really not. He's really not. Virus is going to virus. We'll come back and wrap up the day with a personal note next on the Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, I was chatting with Dory Monson earlier at the 8 o'clock segment about this little boy who lost his life because of this, confluence of things. The most direct impact was a ridiculously negligent, murderously so, in my judgment, adoptive parents, but also the failure of the teachers to rise up above the ridiculous union and go back to work, and what appears to be a unbelievable amount of negligence by a CPS employee. Just got me thinking to, I really, really like to end Friday on notes of optimism. I really do, but I never planned these segments. I take that back. If I have to do something, I'm going to do Rush's show, like I'll do Rush's show next week. I will sometimes think in advance of things I want to talk about. But commonly, 99.9% of the time, these are completely off the top of my head. And I'm just drawn to tell you this, that the life that exists outside of our happiness is there. And for all the talk of the foreign countries that need our help and the refugees, it's in our backyard, guys. And it requires our prayers and it requires our knowledge and, in fact, our action. These things happen every day. There was a little boy I got to know when I worked at a gang-impacted school in Salt Lake City. Seriously, very gang-impacted. It was a school of last resort. Kids had to be sued out of that school. In fact, that is where I worked with my now wife, who was an awesome, awesome teacher. Great teacher. And there was a little boy there I'm going to call SRT. I still remember his name, his full name, and I will never forget his full name, and you're going to learn why. The first time I met SRT, I got a 911 stat call down to a classroom because a little boy was freaking out. He was on top of the filing cabinets. He was throwing staplers and scissors at the teacher who had taken cover beneath the desk. And the other kids had taken cover. And I walked in and I opened the door and SRT was standing on the filing cabinets. And he stopped when he saw me. And I said, "Hey, buddy." And he said, "I'm in a lot of trouble, aren't I?" I said, "Yeah, you kind of are. Are you done? Do you need to throw anything else?" He threw a couple pieces of paper or something. "All right, man, I'm going to help you down. Let me help you down, bud." And I told him, I looked him in the eye, I said, "SRT," I said his first name, "I promise I will not hurt you. I will never hurt you." And I helped him down. And I said, "Hey, bud, I'm going to just hold your hands because you're having some trouble controlling your body. It's just to control your hands, bud. I'll never hurt you."
So we walked down to the principal's office, and I talked with him about what happened. And, hey, what are some alternatives you could have used when you were feeling this way? He was first grade. He was filthy. He stunk. Made sure that he ate lunch, and then he spent time in my discipline room. In my room, we had contracts for behavior. Here's how you treat me. Here's how I treat you. This is my promise to you. If you sign this, this is your promise to me. And he had to sit silently. Since he was a little kid, he had to sit silently and not do anything for all of like a half an hour, which is really hard for little boys. After half an hour, he did such a good job. I went and talked to him and said, hey, you have permission to do your schoolwork now. You still can't talk unless you come and you raise your hand. And eventually he came and raised his hand and he talked to me about how this teacher had frightened him. This little boy had bruises. Everybody knew he was abused. We all knew. And there was some work to get CPS involved to get him taken from his mom. Last resort. I'd never want to do that. Last resort. And I told him, bud, if you get in that circumstance again, I'm going to give you special permission to say, I need to go to Mr. Herman's room. If I'm not here and Julia's here or Tracy's here, they'll call me and I'll come down and I'll sit with you. That way there's no freaking out. And he agreed. And you know what? He took advantage of that. When those emotions arose and he was frightened or enraged, he would come to me. And he would be frightened or enraged since his mother was apparently a prostitute who tricked with him in their home. Their home was a car. Stephen had to be, I said his first name, Stephen had to be in the car when his mom was tricking. We all knew this. Finally, we got CPS involved enough that they were going to take the little boy, SRT. I would have adopted him, by the way. And take him from his mother. Except someone on the staff decided to tell the mother. She learned in advance. She knew the system. If she could get there before the CPS worker did, she could disappear into the system. And she got there in advance. We tried to stall her, and she wouldn't be stalled. She was walking out of the school with SRT's hand held. He broke away, and he ran to me. He said, I just need to see Mr. Herman. And this little boy ran up to me, and I put my hands out, and I picked him up. And he looked me in the eye. And this little boy, who knew he was about to forever disappear down the cracks of life, said the following. My name is Stephen blank blank. He gave me his first name, Stephen, his middle name, and his last name. That's all he said to me. My name is SRT. And I pledged to him, SRT, I will never forget you. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. We're on podcast everywhere. I'll be in for Rush, on Rush's program next week. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.